Hello, this is Rachi Lerner speaking with you today from OU Radio. We are in part three of our series, Elul Thoughts. We have been speaking about Sefer Tehillim and its instructions or its guidance for us as we go through these days leading up to the Yamim Noraim, the days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. One of the things that strikes me during this period is Elul. The word Elul stands for Ani L'Dodi V'Dodi Li. I am to my love and my lover is to me. What does that mean? So often our relationship with God during this period feels like the relationship of a punitive, heavy-handed God. But in truth, Hashem is Dodi. He is my lover, the person who loves me, the person who cares about me, the person who is connected to me, my intimate friend. And we know that our relationship with God, Ahavat Hashem, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, that's a positive command. We are to love God. But it's very hard to love God when one is feeling so vulnerable, so flawed, so human, so disconnected. So how do we reconcile all this? How do we even keep the mitzvah to love God? Many commentators note that this commandment of Ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol ma'odecha, that you shall love Hashem your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your resources, this commandment is exceedingly difficult to fulfill. How can you even order an emotion? And yet it must be possible to order emotion if we are commanded to do so. Hashem would not command us to do something that we simply could not do. Maimonides explains that loving Hashem lies in contemplation of His commandments and His works, so that we can gain a conception of Hashem that is commensurate with our ability. When we conceive of Hashem, we will obtain joy. Let's understand that. The Rambam, Maimonides, says to us to love God, we need to think on Hashem. We need to look at His mitzvot, His commandments, and we need to look at all the things that He has done in the world, all of His works, so that we can obtain a conceptualization, understanding of God that is in keeping with our ability. The greater the gifts we have, the more we can perceive Hashem. That is our truth. And the more we conceive Hashem, the more we will obtain joy. David HaMelech speaks of this love of Hashem, and he says it so beautifully in Perek Kuf Tet Zayin in 1:16, Ahavti ki yishma Hashem et kol tachnunai. I love Hashem, for He hears my voice, my supplications. Ki hita azno li uvayamai ekra. For He has inclined His ear to me, so in my days I shall call Him. David says that he loves Hashem because Hashem listens to him, because God hears him. David is completely, unabashedly, unafraid to admit that he has a need for God's validation and attention. There is no sin in needing God, and there is no sin in loving God for meeting that need. It is, in fact, a truism that because Hashem hears our tefillot, our prayers, that we continue to pray and petition Him. The key lies, though, as the Rambam said, as Maimonides said, in being able to see that Hashem is responding and being able to hear His response. When we love Hashem, when we invest in loving God, we heighten our perception of God. We contemplate Hashem's commandments, we contemplate His work, we heighten our sense of Him, we become more sensitive to His presence, we can perceive His attentiveness, we can even feel joy. Perhaps this is the key for us during this period, that if we're going to stay connected to God during Elul time, if it's going to be a time of Ani L'Dodi, I am to my beloved, V'Dodi Li, and my beloved is to me, then we're going to need to be able to see the beloved's presence. When we fall in love, we are acutely aware of the loved one. We're acutely aware of everything we know and we like about that person. That is our gift as someone who is loved and loving. We must be the same with God. Even in this month when we are struggling, soul searching, really looking deep inside our souls, we must not forget that which we know of God. We must continue to contemplate and foster that loving relationship, because that loving relationship allows us to perceive God, and that perception of God allows us to continue to dive into Him, pray to Him, and connect to Him, and that in turn brings us our joy. We have a principle in Torah that Dvarim hayotzim min halev nichnesim el halev, words that exit the soul enter the soul. And David certainly knew this lesson. He always speaks to us from his heart. He was always coming to us from a place of great depth and beauty. And David doesn't have a problem in order to speak from the soul and to penetrate the heart of his listener. He has no difficulty in really detailing the struggle of his soul. He details his desire for connection. And he also recognizes that there's a reciprocity, there's a give and a take to his relationship with God that will require his efforts and his moral strength. What does trust in Hashem demand? Trust in Hashem demands that we believe first and that we await his redemption. To validate Hashem after God has answered everything that we have asked for is gratitude and not faith. We need to work on our trust issues with God. There is no shortcut. Hashem cannot grant us trust. We have to commit to him first. And this is what it says in Perek Chaf Bet, Pasuk Tet, 22:9. Go'al Hashem yifalteu, yatzileu ki chafet bo. If one commits himself to God, he will deliver him. He will rescue him, for he desires him. If one commits himself to God, God will deliver him. God will rescue him, for he desires him. Sometimes the trust itself is the deliverance. When we commit ourselves to God, we shift our focus and we can perceive the rescue in the midst of the crisis. Changing our perception alters the reality of our situation. We are no longer in crisis, but we are beginning instead the process of redemption, the deliverance piece. And that in turn gives us the strength and the courage to continue. You know, it is also important for us to note at this point that one of the things that we must do during this period of Elul is also have extreme hakarat hatov to God. It's not enough to keep petitioning and asking and praying and repenting. We must also take time to note the good that has been done to us. And David asked that question of himself. He says, Ma ashiv l'Hashem kol tagmuloi alai. How can I repay Hashem for all the kindnesses that he has bestowed upon me? This is Psalm Kuf Tet Zayin, Pasuk Yud Bet, Psalm 116, verse 12. How can I repay Hashem for all the kindnesses that he has bestowed upon me? What gift can I give to the Supreme Being who has everything? Hashem's kindnesses are too numerous for us to count. Were we to begin the process of paying back God, we would not have enough time in our lifetimes to complete the task. Therefore, the question is of necessity a rhetorical question. But by asking the question, how can I repay Hashem? We are acknowledging that we have a debt that we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose kindness and whose generosity sustains us daily. You know, as parents, we know very well that our children can never repay us for the outlay of time and energy and money. How is it that our children pay us back? It is by their living our legacy, by embodying our values, that they honor our commitments and our investment. And the same thing is true of our relationship with God. It is when we live in accord with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah that we pay down our debt to God and that we give him the gratitude and the respect that he deserves. This is a very important point. We are trying so hard to talk about what it is we need to bring to God. We need to bring to God every aspect of our being, our fears, our tears, our doubts, our hopes, our faith, our trust, our gratitude, and our belief that the deliverance and the redemption will and absolutely can come. And it's so important for us to notice this. If we see David HaMelech's use of language, we know how incredibly talented he was at language. And David uses language to convey both his emotional and his spiritual stance. And each of the distinct openings in Sefer Tehillim, in fact, communicates a different message from Hashem. Psalm 22, Perek Chaf Bet, is a psalm in which David asks Hashem to end the long exile. And that begins in an unusual way. Lam natzech al ayelet hashachar. And what is ayelet hashachar? Ayelet hashachar may refer, say some commentaries, to a specific musical instrument upon which the psalm was to be played. Alternatively, Rashi and the Radak translate this word to mean a radiant deer, which is a reference to the Jewish nation. The Jewish nation is likened to a loving deer, deeply devoted to its mate, brightening like the dawn at glimpsing its partner. David says, "Lamnatzecha l'ayelet ha'shachar." David evokes Hashem's compassion by reminding God of our intense and shining commitment to Him. We are like the deer who, so devoted to its mate, brightens when it sees its partner. In this rendering, Ayelet is translated as deer and Shachar as radiant. Rav Hirsch translates Ayelet HaShachar as the strengthening of the dawn, referring to the promise of God's salvation, the dawning of His rescue after the endless night of our painful exile. Just as the dawn follows the dark night and signals the beginning of a new day, we too will witness the redemption that will follow. As we approach Rosh Hashanah, we ask that Hashem help us to find the words to connect to Him. What does David HaMelech say in Psalm 51? Once again, the psalm of his tshuva, his repentance after his sin with Bathsheba. He says the following. This is in Pasuk 17. Adonai svatai tivtach ufi yagiti latecha. O Lord, my lips open so that my mouth may declare your praise. David is asking God to open his lips. He recognizes that there are times when we lack the words to praise God. In his awesome presence, we are inarticulate, we are tongue-tied, and we simply cannot connect at times with God. Therefore, we ask that God open our lips so that the right words emerge and we merge with Him. In the time of the Beit HaMikdash, people were able to bring sacrifices as a means of communication with God. And the nature of the sacrifice signaled the donor's intent and was a form of communication. But David tells us in the very next verse, Ki lo tachbot zevach ve'etena, ola lo tirtzeh. For you, Hashem, do not desire a sacrifice, else I would give it. A burnt offering you do not want. Hashem does not desire the formal communication of the sacrifices. Instead, what is it that God wants from us? Zivchei Elokim ruach nishbara, lev nishbar v'nitkeh, Elokim lo tivzeh. What does God want? The sacrifices that Hashem desires are a spirit that is broken. A broken and humbled heart, O God, you do not despise. Hashem asks that we bring our spirit to Him, that we subordinate ourself to Him, our sense of self to Him. And when we say a broken spirit, we don't mean depression or anxiety or a total loss of self. We need instead to think of a broken spirit in the way that we would think of breaking the spirit of a thoroughbred horse. A thoroughbred horse gets broken so that it is gentled before its master. We need to break our spirit in much the same way. In order to worship Hashem and to serve Him, we must stop being self-serving and self-absorbed. And it's only when we are humble that we can serve God as our Adon Olam, our Master of the world. Rav Shlomo Kabach used to say that a broken heart is open to receive all the gifts and blessings from God. Why is that? Because an intact heart is self-contained. It has no need of succor. It has no need of sustenance from God. It's totally self-contained. It needs nothing. But a broken heart has broken down its barriers. It is truly open to receive God, and that is its blessing. And that is the blessing that we seek ourselves. In Psalm 138, verse 1, David gives us an insight again about how to approach our love and our attachment to God. What does he say? In verse 1, L'David, otcha b'cholibi, neged Elohim azamrecha. By David, I will acknowledge you with my whole heart. In the presence of gods, I will sing of you. David speaks for all of us when he commits to speaking of God and singing of God in the presence of others' gods. Very often, our attachment to God we'd like to keep under wraps. We'd like no one to know what's going on. We'll acknowledge God privately, but we want to hide our worship behind the veneer of ordinariness. We try and we conceal our distinctiveness. We try to blend within the modern world, to assimilate, to acculturate. But David's approach is so very different. He has no shame, no apology, and no furtiveness in his acknowledgement of God. Instead, with pride and with full heart, he speaks of Hashem. And he does so in the presence of gods. We too, at this time of year, need not be afraid of our Jewishness, but instead we must directly and with full heart and pride go forth and sing of God in the presence of the gods of our day, however we define them. At this time of Elul, we need to take away any shame that we might be feeling in the presence of Hashem and acknowledge, in essence, that we are proud to be His people, proud to be connected. And that sense of pride fuels us on our journey to God, because it is not from a place of fear and despair and abject misery that we are approaching God, but we are approaching God from the point of view of having been chosen people, and we are fortunate to be chosen. In Psalm 65, verse 5, David communicates this very idea. Ashrei tivchar utikarev yushkon chatzerecha. Fortunate is he whom you choose and bring near, that he may dwell in your courtyards. Nisba'a bituv beitecha kidosh hechalecha. May we be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holy place of your sanctuary. What is he saying? Fortunate is he whom you choose and bring near, that he may dwell in your courtyards. May we be satisfied with the goodness of your house, the holy place of your sanctuary. Instead of seeing our chosen status as a burden, we are reassured that being chosen results in increased proximity to God. We have a front row seat in God's courtyard. Fortunate is he whom you choose and bring near. We have a close-up and personal relationship with God. And it is our lifelong challenge as Jewish people to internalize this kesher, this closeness to God, as a gift and not a burden, to find contentment in our role as the chosen people. David therefore requests, may we be satisfied with the goodness of your house. He requests that we find satisfaction in the goodness of Hashem's holy sanctuary. He asks that we be able to find contentment as we approach and grow closer and nearer to God. In these times of Elul, when we are thinking about reattaching to God, let us see that attachment as a good thing. Let us recognize and acknowledge that our closeness to God is what sustains us, maintains us, and keeps us. I wish everyone a ksiva v'chasima tova, a good gebenchtura.